episode of A Week Late is brought to you by FenEntertainment.com, offering the very best in free independent music from the great sunny state of Florida and beyond. Download underground hip-hop, rock, industrial, drum and bass, dubstep, ska, drumstep, jungle, and much, much more. From single tracks to full sets, albums, and remixes, all for free. Plus the latest videos that get you up to speed on all the current tech, art, music, video games, TV, movies, pop culture, and even anime. No ads, no pop-ups, no flashy distraction banners, and it's absolutely free. Never charge for anything. For all this and more information, go to www.fenentertainment.com.
Okay, what is up, people? Welcome to the world-renowned Week Late podcast. My name is Darren, a.k.a. Analysis489, for all my video game heads out there. Oh, and also hip-hop heads out there. That sound you hear in the background is the sound of the tool I will be using from here on out to take notes, do some research, most people that I listen to on their other podcasts have some sort of structure. I'm kind of famous for not having any structure, and I kind of like it that way. this isn't really structure. It's just a way for me to keep things flowing better. I know it doesn't sound like it right now, but that's because I'm typing and talking at the same time. Welcome back for the returning listeners, and to the new listeners, welcome. This is a podcast in which I watch movies and talk about them. I sometimes have guests. I sometimes do solo. At one point, I had a co-host or two. I'm hoping you had a good week. My week was okay. Truth be told, full disclosure, completely forgot about Wednesday. not sure why I have a scratchy throat all of a sudden. I really hope I'm not getting sick. I forgot Wednesday's episode. Not sure if there was a good reason for it. I'm sure there was. For anybody who's trying to follow along with a little bit of structure, Sundays and Wednesdays are usually when the podcast comes out. Sometimes Sundays, sometimes Wednesdays, sometimes both. We are available on aweeklate.com and on iTunes for free. If you use iTunes as your main means of music listening, excuse me, please go to the podcast section of your iTunes and type in A Week Late and subscribe and comment and rate and comment. That somehow flows through iTunes to the good people over at Apple, and they somehow let us know whether or not how good or bad our podcasts are doing. This week is episode 44, and I am watching a movie called Wrecked. But before I do that, starring Adrian Brody, I want to finish the description of what A Week Late is. The idea came about pretty much, me and a good friend of mine, well, mostly me, not even going to lie, came up with the idea of a podcast in which we are too lazy and or broke to watch movies in the theaters when they first come out. And, you know, sort of talk about it, review the movies, rate the movies. Sometimes, most of the time, we're pretty good on being unbiased. But really, it's just our opinions. Go watch the movies yourselves. Come up with your own opinions. I do a music intro. Music is provided by my good friend, DJ Aaron Bond, over in Orlando. And we basically just review movies that have been out for a while that we're catching up on. Not only that, but video games and music as well. Since a lot of us didn't really grow up in the digital era as it is today, most of my movie watching was done via DVD. And now Blu-rays are out, and I just went strictly digital. So I'm starting to catch up with services like Hulu and Netflix that are out there. And again, we're not sponsored by anybody, but if anybody can hook me up with sponsorship, that would be awesome. Just because I say episode 44 doesn't necessarily mean that that's all there are. There's well over 50-plus episodes. There's bonus episodes. There's retro episodes. I kind of did away with those because I'll be doing mostly reviews for movies that are either, like, really indie or underground, but definitely well outside of the theater realm. So it'll be a lot easier for me to start cranking out these episodes when I can. I really cannot get rid of this scratchiness in my throat, so I apologize. I know it's not the best when people eat or are sick on podcasts. But like I said, there's probably well over 60 episodes by now. I'm not sure why they don't all show up on iTunes, if it's like a popularity thing. But if you want a full listing of all the episodes, head over to weeklate.com and browse away. Feel free to download and share. I'm making this a huge commercial now. Sorry about that. I had to pause it to clear my throat. And I still don't think it worked. I think it's actually worse. So, deal with it. Okay. This week, I chose to watch a movie by the name of Wrecked, as I mentioned. Has one of my favorite actors in it, Adrian Brody. He was in such films such as, I believe he was in King Kong. Let me refresh this page. Oh, by the way, the device in which I'm using to do all my note-taking and movie browsing or internet browsing to get a little bit more up to speed and current if I need to think of anything. Nobody likes to hear a person go, so I've kind of hard to do. But that's actually just the way I speak now. Let me see while it refreshes here. This may not be a good thing, who knows. Yeah, pretty much the pianist. Some people pronounce it pianist. I think it sounds too much like penis, so I skip that. I say pianist because I pronounce it piano, so why would I say pianist when piano is pronounced piano? Adding an IST to the end of it should be pianist. So that's how I don't know. I've actually never seen that movie. I heard it's super long, and maybe that's why I have not seen that. He was, in fact, in King Kong, one of my favorite movies, The Village. Might get a lot of flack for that. And have not yet seen Predators. He was in, it's not really a remake, it's kind of a reboot of Predator that came out back in the 90s. Predators, he gets dropped on a planet. He's a criminal, and they get dropped on a planet, or they think they're on Earth, and they're actually on a planet full of predators. So if you're not familiar with Adrien Brody and a bunch of other really good stuff, man, he is probably one of the best actors out there. It looks like he's got a ton of stuff coming up in 2013 and 2014 and beyond, which is good. It's always good to see people getting work. The reason Wrecked caught my eye, I'm watching it via Netflix this time, which I will usually be doing via my Xbox 360, which my gamer tag is ANALYSIS, the numbers 489. I will actually be speaking about some video games in the second portion of the show. For the new listeners, the show is pretty much split up into two sections. First portion, I talk about the movie that I've never seen. Second portion, I talk about a movie that I just watched. And there will be a spoiler countdown, or I'll just say, hey, stop listening, because now, you know, we have spoilers coming up. Then you can watch the movie if you haven't seen it during our intermission music, and or pause the podcast, go not watch the movie, in which case you wouldn't pause the podcast. You would just keep listening, hopefully. And spoilers abound, so just be warned of that. Okay. Movie runs 1 hour, 29 minutes. It was released in 2011. It's not really that old. I don't really know why I've never heard of this movie before, but clearly it was in my instant queue waiting for me to watch it, so that's what I'm about to do. The description reads thusly, a man wakes up trapped in a crashed automobile with no hope of rescue. As he struggles to survive, he slowly remembers the events that put him there. Starring Adrien Brody, of course, Caroline Duvernay, and Ryan Robbins, and directed by Michael Greenspan. Why does that sound familiar? Let me look up Michael Greenspan. And I never really finished my sentence about the device that I'm using. It is the Nintendo 3DS that was gifted to me for Christmas, and I've been using it quite a lot, not even for video games, believe it or not. Mostly for watching 3D videos, which is pretty rad, and playing free demos, which are also pretty rad. But I will probably be doing some game reviews for the 3DS now that I have one. I'm super stoked about the catalog that they have for Mario titles. Michael Greenspan, let me see what he has done before. If anybody wants to leave comments for my idiotic ramblings, you can do so on any one of the... entries, if you will, any one of the posts. You actually can do that on Facebook as well. Facebook.com/aweeklatepodcast. Let me know what I'm doing wrong. Let me know what I'm doing right. Michael Greenspan. Looks like there are few listings, but I'm just going to gather that IMDb knows what they're doing, and I will tap on the first one. Which movies? Let me see. And apparently, I have no idea who this director is. Fishtails, Kill For Me, and The Legend of Razorback. I've never heard of any of those. Yeah, I hope this is good. It has a rating of almost 4 stars on Netflix, which isn't that bad. I mean, hopefully it's the performance rather than the direction that does this movie well. hopefully I will be able to let you know in the second portion part. It is rated R. Doesn't say why. So if you're maybe it might be gory and probably has a lot of bad language in it. I like movies like this because I feel that it's going to be like a flashback movie. And I'm a huge fan of Memento and the jumping of back and forth and trying to keep track of everything. It makes the viewer an active part of the movie, and I like that. You're not just sitting there being dumbed down by something. So the description of this movie pretty much describes why it's in my queue and why I'm about to watch it. The ratings have gone anywhere from 0 to a perfect 110. Those ratings are usually reserved for actually going to the theater. The Netflix rating I just stuck to, since Netflix does a 1 out of 5 stars, I do a 0 out of 5, 0 being the absolute worst. The movie does not even deserve a rating, and 5 being the absolute best. Perfect picture, a flawless film. I will probably recognize the other actors and actresses in this movie depending on how they do it. If it's if he's by himself in the vehicle the whole movie, that's clearly going to be an interesting setting for movies like this. And maybe that's why I haven't heard of the director. A lot of directors, well, not a lot, but sometimes in genre films, directors aren't really that known, but they'll do low-budget movies that still really do a good job, and how they fulfill that is by putting the entire movie in one location, a la Skyline. If you haven't seen Skyline, I actually did a show on that back when I did have a host. Shout out to Jason Runyon. What up, son? I actually like the movie. I'm going to research who directed Skyline because I feel that this movie is going to be a lot like that one in terms of settings. But hoping the flashbacks that he has, clearly in the description of the movie, they may be different settings, hopefully. So we'll see how that plays in. It's like a 3.75 on there, and my expectations are probably going to be pretty good because I like Adrien Brody a lot, like I said. Not really sure what draws us to certain actors and actresses. It's just maybe their performances speak for themselves. I'm certainly not one of those people that likes the celebrity behind it, so I don't know what they do in their personal lives, and I don't care, really. Unless there's philanthropy involved, which I find pretty fascinating. So there we go. I'm about to watch Wrecked, starring Adrien Brody and some other cats. And I'll come back. Maybe you go watch it too. Agree or disagree with me in the second portion. And here's some intermission music. Drop that shit, Bond. Cheers. Welcome back, everybody, to part 2 of episode 44 for a week late podcast. I just finished watching the movie Wrecked, directed by Michael Greenspan, executive produced and starring Adrian Brody, and I believe the writer's name is Christopher Dodd, and I wanted to give him a shout-out because I actually rather enjoyed this movie. I'll tell you right off the top, if you do not think, or if you're maybe tired, don't watch this movie. It does not have a lot of dialogue whatsoever. Probably less than 100 words in the whole movie, if that. I didn't actually count, but there was not a lot of dialogue in this movie at all, almost zero. The only actor that I recognized in this movie was Adrian Brody. There were a few other characters. And I say that with air quotes around characters because to me, in this movie, there were actually three main characters. Adrian Brody's character, the woods, and a dog. I would say those actually played the main roles in this movie, and I rather enjoyed how the director made the environment a sort of a character. The most suspenseful thing in use of this movie was silence, and silence was used in many different ways to make you feel many different things. It was very interesting. I can see why this movie got a 3.75 on Netflix. Some people probably sat through the whole thing and didn't much care for it. But before I talk about anything more, I'm going to go ahead and give my rating so I can get into the spoilers. Which there aren't many, but as I talk about it, I'm going to be revealing stuff that could probably ruin some things, some plots or how the movie moved along, things of that nature. Not too much of a soundtrack at all in this movie. There's one song that's played, and it's Tiptoe Through the Tulips. I don't know if it bears any resemblance or any meaning, any weight in the movie. I don't know if it means anything or if it's supposed to mean anything, if it's symbolic of something. But that was the only song you pretty much heard. Music-wise in the whole movie. And I guess I can talk about that in a little bit. Some things were confusing in the movie. They weren't necessarily explained, which I gather is part of it, but not pertaining to the storyline. I'm talking about him finding things in the woods that they don't necessarily explain how they got there. But it's now that I'm thinking about it, it could be also part of how they told the story. I would give this movie a solid 4.25. That's what I'm going to give it. A lot of people don't like the fraction ratings, but I find it's easier to hone in on the rating if you give it a little bit. I mean, there has to be something between 4 and 5. It's not a perfect movie, but it deserves better than a 4. just for Adrian Brody's performance alone, this movie could have been a silent movie. There could have been zero dialogue in this movie, which there almost was. And he, I don't know, I believed everything he was trying to put across in the film. So, I give this movie 4.25. For those reasons, pretty solid directing, the writing was awesome, and solid acting by the main character in the movie. And that's my rating for Wrecked, starring Adrian Brody. Go check it out. Don't take my word for it. If you haven't seen it, go check it out. And now I'm going to start talking about spoilers. So if you don't want to listen, if you haven't watched and you want to watch this movie and then hear about my opinion or the description of it, then stop listening and go watch Wrecked. Do yourself a favor. I liked it a lot. If you're tired, don't watch this movie. There's zero dialogue. You'll probably fall asleep, but it is not boring. I didn't find it boring. There's a difference, I think, between it's. I could imagine how hard this movie was to pull off, being that there's no dialogue, and they did a good job in doing it. So there you go. Go check out Wrecked. It's on Netflix. Pretty sure you can catch it on Redbox. I might be a little bit too old for Redbox, but I've never used a Redbox before, so I don't know how far back their movies go. Amazon probably has it. YouTube, somebody probably pirated it and put it in different sections on YouTube, which is really popular nowadays. So go check that out. We'll talk about spoilers now. That's the third time I said it, so if you keep listening and you get mad because you hear something you don't want to hear, it's your own fault. Right away in this movie, you know what happens. First thing you see is Adrian Brody's face. And I have to keep calling him Adrian Brody because, as you'll find out through the movie, you never figure out what his real name is. You think you do, but you don't. This movie has a couple different twists in it, which is why I also gave it a little bit above a 4, because at the end I was like, you got me. It was interesting how the different twists played out. There were actually 3 or 4 in the movie, now that I think about it. And as I talk, I always sort of convince myself that I should give the movie a higher rating than I gave it, but I have to stick to my guns and say 4.25. I want to now give it a 4.5 because those twists were actually really good, better than I thought. But there's always room for improvement. The director, I don't really recognize any of his other movies, so I'm hoping that all of his movies are in this sort of vein, because if they are, he does it quite well. If they're not, maybe I might check out some of his other movies, who knows, in future episodes. There were sequences where you didn't know whether he was dreaming it or if it was happening in real life. He ends up with a head injury that has him sort of questioning what he's doing there and why, as you are. A good 30 minutes of this movie is spent with him inside of the vehicle in which he is wrecked in. He's crashed in the middle of the woods. And his leg, one of his legs, at first I thought it was both of his legs, but as the story progresses, you find out that it's just, I believe it's his right leg that is pinned between the seat and the dashboard. It's an older car. One of the reasons I took a little bit of the score off was because I was wondering why he just couldn't move the seat back to get his leg from being unpinned from the dashboard. It was a Chevy Corsica or something like that, a four-door. And pretty sure the year that that car was made, they had adjustable seats. Why they never thought, why he never thought about that, I don't know. At one point he saw smoke, and he found a gun, and he didn't shoot off the gun to get people to notice where he was. And this came before he figured out, or he thought he figured out who he was. The car that he was wrecked in still had a battery that worked, and the story progresses as there's a bank robbery, and he starts remembering things from the bank robbery. One of the dreams, this girl shows up, and at first you think someone has rescued him, but it ends up being a dream, and she, for all intents and purposes, is, he remembers her as the teller in the bank, and he's remembering a sequence that at the end turns out didn't happen, which is the other twist. There was a twist before that where he finally makes his way out of the car. He mends his leg up the best he can, but he's crawling around the woods for what appears to be days, and comes across a river and a dog. The dog ends up being a friendly dog, ends up helping him out in some ways as far as companionship is concerned, which I found quite endearing in the movie. It brought character. And I think the dog played an important role in showing what kind of person he actually was. So you start thinking, was he really a bank robber or what? I'm not going to completely give it away because I do want the people that haven't seen the movie and are still listening to actually go watch it, because the last twist is a pretty good one. So yeah, that's pretty much it. There's a lot more to this movie than just that, and I'm pretty sure I always think of something clever to say or think of something, a scene that I wanted to comment on that I didn't. I should have taken notes in the movie, but I would have had to pause it too many times, because since there's no dialogue, there really is no way to tell if you're not looking at the screen if you're missing something important. So my eyes were glued to every scene, looking in all different directions for something going on in the background, because a couple times the director does stuff in the background that I don't know if he meant to happen or if he just left in because it was there. It seemed made things seem more natural at times. But yeah, go check this out. It was pretty surprising. I didn't think it was going to take – if I had directed this movie, I would have done it a little differently. It keeps its pace. It's very slow the whole way, but enough happens at certain points in the movie to sort of keep you interested as to what's going to happen next. And it was pulled off quite well. So kudos to everybody involved in Wrecked. And go check it out. I usually talk about video games and whatnot. I mentioned in the last episode that I had finished Assassin's Creed 3 on 100%. I'm quite proud of that because I've played all Assassin's Creed games on Xbox. It would be Assassin's Creed 1, Assassin's Creed 2, Brotherhood, Revelations, and then Assassin's Creed 3. So that's 5 games total that I've played. There are others on Sony handhelds and the DS that I haven't gotten into, but like I said in the first portion, I just got a Nintendo DS, and I plan on getting, I think there's a version of Assassin's Creed on DS that I can play. It fills in the storyline from in between different portions of the major Assassin's Creed games. Yeah. So I kind of want to go back and finish the other ones 100%, but I think Assassin's Creed 3 is the only one that really warrants that. It has its glitches, and if I had to give a rating to Assassin's Creed 3, I'm going to hold off on that because I'm still going to have an all Assassin's Creed 3 show, if I can, with a buddy of mine. He actually did, Christian was on one of the shows as a guest host. I can't remember which one it was for. I think it was Looper, maybe. But yeah, so it does have some functionality issues, but nothing that completely is a game breaker for me. It's close to a perfect game, and that's all I can really say. I've since started playing the multiplayer, but it doesn't grab me like the storyline of it does. It is an achievement if you level up your character to level 20, I believe. It is an achievement in the game, and I've beaten the whole game with 100%. Not sure if I've gotten all the achievements for it, but it kind of bothers me that I don't have just that one achievement lingering after beating the game at 100%. Which brings me to my next point. It took me, I think, close to 80 hours to beat Assassin's Creed 100%. Most of that was dawdling, and at one point I thought that it was glitched so bad that it was broken and I could never reach 100%. But after a lot of research and digging, I found out that it's kind of glitched, but not really. You just have to really explore the map in the darker areas. When you're walking through the map in Assassin's Creed, it sort of opens up the map. If you don't sync your viewpoints, a lot of people that don't play video games are going to be like, what the fuck is he talking about? But if you don't sync up your viewpoints, it leaves blank area in the maps, and those blank areas are crucial to finishing the game 100%. That's all I'm going to say until we have the episode. Pretty much put a nail in the coffin in the Assassin's Creed games, but they are talking about doing an Assassin's Creed 4, either that or like they did with Brotherhood, create games within the timeline of that particular major title. Assassin's Creed 2 branched off into Brotherhood and then Revelations because they were in sort of same time period as the second one, and they actually followed the same characters quite nicely, how they tied all three together and pretty much finished off the story with a brilliant way to start a new one. Kind of like the Star Trek reboot, if anybody gets that analogy. Since I stopped playing Assassin's Creed, I picked up Mass Effect, which I bought a long time ago, but haven't played until just now. Beat that game. I don't know if you can really rate it 100% because Mass Effect is a huge storyline that revolves around choices. It's like a Fable in space. And I actually tried to play Fable for a really long time, and it didn't catch me like I wanted it to catch me. I wanted to be a big Fable fan, but I stopped playing about halfway through. This was on Xbox One, the first Xbox, and I'm glad that that game has gone on to huge success and has a lot of fans, but it just couldn't grab me, and I'm glad that Mass Effect did. The first Mass Effect was quite short. I beat it in probably about 24 hours. And the way that it plays out, I'm not sure that if different characters can die off in different storylines, depending on how you choose, but kept everybody in my crew except for two people, and they both died on the same planet the same day. So I thought that was pretty funny. I would describe the first one more as a third-person shooter with role-playing game aspects. I have since moved on to Mass Effect 2, which I'm already well over 24 hours, but 24 hours into playing that game, and have yet to complete my crew, my unit. You have to go around and assemble your people to go and fight for the greater good. And in the first game, I had my entire crew probably within the first few hours. And there's a lot of storyline that ties in the first and second together. What I like about Mass Effect 2 is that it gives you the option to import your character from the first Mass Effect, so all your choices and all the team building and all the skill levels and all the leveling up that you've done transfers over to the new game, and those characters retain the memories of the choices that you made in the first game. It's fucking brilliant. Not to say that it's a little glitchy, the first one is, The second one, they've gotten a lot of it out of the way. It's a little bit more polished. And there's more of a role-playing game aspect to this one than there is the first one. There's still plenty of adventure and shooting, but a lot of it is walking around and doing tasks for people or not doing tasks for people. And things that they've added are renegade actions and what they call paragon. Paragon? Pretty sure I have that wrong. Paragon actions, where you can do things within a cutscene to change that cutscene for the better or for the worse, depending on what your choices and who you're talking to and what your decisions are. It could turn out good, it could turn out bad, depending on what your story is and when you choose to do what you choose to do, when you choose to do it. I'm having a great time playing this game. It's also a mix between, I would say, Fable and Assassin's Creed in space, but there's very little stealth in this. There's actually zero stealth so far in Mass Effect, and Assassin's Creed has a lot of stealth elements and, like, ninja elements to it, hiding and ducking and killing people from silent, from quiet spots and dark spots and stuff like that. Not with Mass Effect. If you're not in active dialogue, then you're shooting somebody with a lot of different weapons. There's a ton more characters in this game. Your crew is almost three times bigger than what is in Mass Effect 1. And I think I'm also going to do a show, probably the Assassin's Creed show. We're going to talk about Assassin's Creed and Mass Effect probably in one show, because Christian is playing Assassin's Creed 3 as we speak, and I let him borrow Mass Effect so he could get started on that. And he's going the route opposite me, where I chose the default character to play through all three Mass Effects. He actually built his own character, and where I chose to go mainly the Paragon route with some renegade elements, he is choosing to go all renegade. So I'm actually quite excited to see how a female renegade storyline plays out versus the male protagonist in Mass Effect. It's really cool that you could do that with games these days. It's like playing a movie. It really is. And I swear, if it wasn't for video games, I'd be going crazy right now. Not to get too personal, but I recently went full-time self-employed, and while that feels great, the workflow is either 100% or zero. And when it's zero, video games and movies save my life. So there's that. TV, I don't know if I mentioned that I finished off Weeds. Overall, I give Weeds a really, really good rating. Acting is great. It's funny. It's suspenseful at times. And surprises and twists. I would give probably a 4.5 out of 5 to the creators of Weeds and everybody involved in that project for finding out ways to keep the story going, to stay kind of original. It's really hard for shows like Weeds and Prison Break to stay new because of their super niche way to sort of corner a market. You're talking about either prison or Weeds or weed, and it's interesting how they kept it going. Kudos to them. Go check out Weeds. Go check out Prison Break. Prison Break, for me, gets a 5 out of 5. I love that show. The writing was brilliant. It wasn't perfect, but I'm giving it a 5 because it's one of the only shows that I thought wasn't going to make it, and they stretched it out to 5 seasons, and I thought they did it brilliantly. A lot of people were saying, "Well, how long is it going to break out of? How long is it going to take them to break out of prison?" Well, watch the show and you'll find out how they do that. It's a formula that I'm seeing in major TV shows like Prison Break, Weeds. I'm watching 24. I just finished the 4th season of 24. About to get into the 5th season very soon. And I'm wondering how they're going to keep that going, because there's a formula, like I said. HBO does it, Cinemax does it, Fox does it, with writing a script in that, sort of in the same way video games are starting to show the same formula. It's sort of a give and take. You have something that I need, let's trade information, thus the plot of the storyline thickens and progresses. How you do that is really what I think separates good TV from bad TV. So there's that. I'm watching and got caught up with The Walking Dead, and I missed it so much that I got into playing the actual video game of The Walking Dead. It's released in different sections, and it follows different characters, so there's really no spoiling what goes on in the TV show. It's kind of done in a comic book style, interactive, choice-making, kind of like Mass Effect, but not to that scope or level. And it's really original. It's interesting. I'm on the second part. It's published by Storytellers, I believe, and they're a video game company that publishes their stories, their games in sections. So you download them for cheaper. By the time the whole thing's done, you've probably spent just as much as you would have for a regular release video game in one drop. But it's really interesting how they've made video gaming more affordable and very worth it, I believe, valuable to the gamers. That's pretty much it. I don't usually like to play more than one game at a time that has storyline involved. It's just the way my brain works. It's the same reason I don't watch too many TV shows at once. I'm kind of breaking my rules, but the whole thing with Walking Dead, I say I missed, is because I got caught up, and I didn't watch it to begin with on purpose because I wanted all the episodes to stack up so I could watch it straight through, but they were so good that I kind of shot myself in the foot, got caught up to the middle of the third season hiatus, and now I'm missing it from week to week because I have nothing to watch. So I think I'm going to let the whole third season play out so I can just watch that all in one fell swoop and call it a day. I'm hoping they keep bringing it back for season 4 or season 5. I don't know how long the comic books went. I believe they're still currently going, but it's another thing with the writers and the creators to come up with new ways to get them moving from place to place, introduce new characters, and kill off old ones. And then even more interesting to see how people that did read the comic books for The Walking Dead, the graphic novels, and compare them to how the TV show is actually playing out, because I never got to read the graphic novels, the comic books. I think I may do that, but I hear that there's so many issues that I probably won't be able to catch up anytime soon. That's I don't know, that's a whole other story. So there you have it, ladies and gents. As far as music is concerned, I have a lot of projects going on right now. Everybody's coming together finally and starting to come up with original content. Original content is the only thing that I'll be providing on the music blog side of things over at fenentertainment.com. That's F-E-N entertainment.com, or you can use the numbers 489entertainment.com. Takes you to the same place. We'll be revamping the music blog pretty soon. I think the podcast page is going to stay the same, but for specific reasons, we're redesigning it because it's a little bit old looking now, and I'm just needing something new and refreshing, but I'm waiting to get some more original content to come through and be scheduled to actually have something to present on the new design. So look for that. The music blog for the new listeners is another side project that I'm working on besides the podcast, where I have a lot of friends in the music industry, and my website, my music blog, gives me a way to showcase their work. I'm in talks with a lot of different independent artists, and we're going to be banding together to bring you more rock, hip-hop, electronica, dance. We just posted one today, actually. That's reggaeton. Never posted a fully Hispanic song before, but my boy Regazon is doing his thing with the Headknocker fam, and we go way back, so we're bonding together to create this sort of one-stop music place where you can go to get all the really, really good underground hip-hop and dance and drum and bass and dubstep music from not just from Florida, but pretty much everywhere. So if you're interested, head over to those addresses, 489entertainment.com. You can hit up facebook.com/FENentertainment, and that'll take you to the page. If you want to like that and share, please do so. And hit up at FenPromos on Twitter if you're interested in showcasing some of your music as well. Or my personal account, which is at analysis489, which is also my gamer tag. So if you're interested in playing multiplayer on Assassin's Creed 2 or 3, let me know. Also, any of those other Assassin's Creeds that I mentioned along the way. I haven't gotten into the multiplayer for Mass Effect. I'm not sure if there is or not. Have to look into that. More on that when I talk to you soon. I got rid of the throat thing, and now I have sniffles. Great. So, I'm doing a little chocolate rain thing there where I have to move away from the mic to breathe so you guys don't hear me. That's it. Guys, gals, newcomers, veterans, thank you for listening. I guess I never know how to finish strong. Never know how to finish strong. Hit us up on Facebook for the podcast, facebook.com/aweeklatepodcast, at aweeklate on Twitter. And I will see you a week ago. This episode of A Week Late is brought to you by FenEntertainment.com, offering the very best in free independent music from the great sunny state of Florida and beyond. Download underground hip-hop, rock, industrial, drum and bass, dubstep, ska, drumstep, jungle, and much, much more. From single tracks to full sets, albums, and remixes, all for free. Plus the latest videos that get you up to speed on all the current tech, art, music, video games, TV, movies, pop culture, and even anime. No ads, no pop-ups, no flashy distraction banners, and it's absolutely free. Never a charge for anything. For all of this and more information, go to www.fenentertainment.com.